You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech. The push to keep Gazans online. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. Today marks 1 month since Hamas attacked Israel, killing 1,400 people and taking hundreds of hostages. Israel has since responded by bombarding Gaza, killing more than 10,000 people there, according to Gaza's Ministry of Health. The Israeli government has shut off power and fuel supplies to the more than 2 million, mostly Palestinians, in Gaza. This weekend, Gazans experienced the third internet and phone blackout since Israel declared war on Hamas. Just over the border in Egypt, journalist Mirna El-Helbawi has been working to keep people in Gaza connected online to the rest of the world. She's part of a small group of people collecting donations of so-called eSIMs, which let users activate a cell plan on a mobile network without needing an actual SIM card.
They work through scanning a QR code or putting an activation code manually in your phone. And then you can connect your mobile to the internet.
And you've gotten thousands of people to donate these eSIMs. Do you know how many people or families in Gaza you've been able to help keep online because of those donations?
I've helped 6,000, more than 6,000 people in Gaza to stay connected.
That's a lot of people.
Yes, and we have received more than 16,000 eSIM donations from across the world.
So that's making a difference, it sounds like.
Of course, it's making a difference. But the right for communication and internet access now is like the same right for food and water and a proper way of living. So cutting off the communication and the internet access for 2 million people, for me, this is outrageous. Even the 6,000 activated eSIMs won't make a difference. We need like 2 million eSIMs activated. So it can really make a difference.
And to your point about this being such a critical utility for people, internet connectivity, as we're coming off of this weekend where there was an internet blackout in Gaza, is your inbox flooded with more requests for eSIMs right now?
Yes. People are freaking out. People are panicking because there was a blackout for the communication and the internet access. So millions of people who didn't have the chance to have an eSIM were not being able to connect with their families or friends or their loved ones, not even with hospitals, not even with anyone outside the world. So when the tiny and slight week of connection was back in their phones, they kept sending me and the team hundreds of requests for new eSIMs to be activated.
How do people go about donating eSIMs to people in Gaza if they want to help?
If they want to help, they have to buy an eSIM internet package from one of the eSIM providers in Europe and across the world and just take a screenshot of the QR code and send it to get the eSIMs at gmail.com.
And what kind of feedback have you gotten from people in Gaza who are using the eSIMs that you've been able to collect on their behalf?
I've been receiving, me and the team, the most heartwarming responses from people who activated their eSIMs. For example, today someone sent me, when we successfully activated his eSIM, that his crying nonstop because he wasn't being able to connect to his family for the past 4 or 5 days. So he finally had the chance to connect with his family and get assured that they are still alive. But today, for example, I came across one of the most heartbreaking examples I've seen in connecting Gaza for the past 7 days, that someone from Europe who donated an eSIM, and his eSIM got activated by someone in Gaza. And this person in Gaza was using his data that he donated. But suddenly, for the past 2 days, no data was being used. And suddenly, the bundle just stopped from activating. And this usually happens because of maybe he's being killed or he just got bombed. So this was very emotional because we can't get in contact with the person who we provided the eSIM to anymore.
We will be right back with more of our conversation with Mirna El-Halbawi. She'll tell us how she got started organizing eSIM donations for Palestinians in Gaza. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech. You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with Egyptian journalist Mirna El-Halbawi. How did you figure out that this was a way to help? Because you don't consider yourself a tech expert, do you?
Not at all. I've been trying to connect the Egyptian Red Crescent and the Palestinian Red Crescent to have a Starlink connection in Gaza, but we failed and we couldn't. So I was really devastated and very furious. And I saw a post for Elon Musk on X telling one of the people that he won't be able to provide internet for Gaza without the permission of the US and Israel. So I got really furious and I thought that we have to figure a way ourselves to provide internet and to connect people again in Gaza. And I was updating my followers on Instagram with each and every step of this process. So a follower, an Egyptian Lebanese follower, suggested, "Hey Mirna, what about eSIMs? Do you think we can use them from people abroad to provide internet?" So I just made a spontaneous post on my personal account on Instagram. And I said, "Hey, if you're living in Europe or across the world and you're willing to donate an eSIM to help Palestinians gain back their voices, just send it to me in my inbox and I will send it to people in Gaza." And I've never thought that I would receive thousands of QR codes were floating in my Instagram account that I had to create our official email, gazaeseems@gmail.com, to receive the QR codes on it. And since then, we've been activating eSIMs for people in Gaza.
So how hard is it to actually make this technology work once they've gotten one of these donated eSIMs?
Some people were having troubles with activating their eSIMs because, as I've just said, the activating an eSIM looks like a bit complicated process because it's new for people in the Middle East. So you have to assist them step by step. And along the way, we figured out that not every eSIM can work on every area in Gaza. So every area requires a different eSIM. So, and with different steps of configuration and activating the eSIM. That's why they were a bit frustrated in the beginning because they were not, the eSIMs were not being activated, but we assisted them step by step. And as I've said, in 7 days, we have activated more than 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm. I know you're probably taking in a lot of personal stories. You mentioned that a couple minutes ago. Are you doing okay?
Oh, what a question. Thank you for asking. No, I'm not doing okay. I'm not. I barely sleep because I've been feeling very guilty to sleep and let people be waiting in my DM looking for a way to connect with their loved ones or the families. I've been feeling guilty because I am their only way to connect right now, which is crazy. I'm not okay because especially when you connect personally with people in war zones, it's a very overwhelming and heartbreaking to connect with them personally and to hear their stories throughout your process with them with activating their ASINs. People are friendly, people are nice, people are kind, people are simply waiting for death anytime. Someone today just told me, okay, when I activated his ASIN, he was like, okay, thank you. I promise you, if I will stay alive until the Isha prayers, Muslim prayers, I will pray for you. If not, definitely I will be dead. Other person I was trying to connect, and I was telling him that he has to like be in a different room to try to change his location, maybe get outside of the house for better coverage. And he was like, no, I can't get out of the house because there are airstrikes and bombing next to me. And if I left my house, I would be definitely dead. So I have to hear and these stories every day from hundreds and thousands of people. So you can imagine the answer of me being okay or not.
Mirna El-Helbawi is a journalist based in Egypt. The Guardian reported on how Gazans came to be so reliant on the Israeli government when it comes to internet access. Israel restricts upgrades that Palestinian cellular providers can make to their networks, and so even when the internet works in the Palestinian territories, it runs a lot slower than is the case in Israel, resulting in Palestinians often relying on Israeli SIM cards to get better service. More on that history on our website, marketplacetech.org, as well as reporting from the Washington Post on what life is like in Gaza in a blackout during the war. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.